This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Amen. Good morning. Welcome. Then I need to go on to the message, and we are. I'm busy with the third part. We are busy with the series called Running After Him. You can just go show us that slide. Running After Him, Pursuing the Presence of God. I preached the first part, Pastor Yaku the second. I'm doing the third part this morning, and I'm not going to tell you who's doing the fourth part, so you will have to come to church next Sunday to come and see who's doing the last part of this the series that we are talking a bit on. And, I started in the Afrikaans service by just saying to the people, you know, I'm sharing a little bit about the part that we follow Jesus, you know, this road that we are walking with God. And I think when I was a young Christian, you know, I looked to older Christians and I thought, you know, they're flying the gifts and they can preach powerfully and they're men and women of God and their walk must be easy. Their walk with God must be really because they are spiritually strong. It must be easy. But as I've been growing in faith and walking this road with the Lord, is that the case? It's definitely not, guys. You know, there's so much of a price to pay when we grow in relationship with Christ, you know. There's such a price to pay. When we say we want to be in God's presence, when we say we want to run after the Lord Jesus, we can just look at Scripture and the example of Moses, Jonah, Paul, Peter, Jesus Christ himself, and the things, what their lives look like. And I want to encourage you, especially, to go and look at the life of Christ, you know. As you read through the Gospels, don't just look at the events of the things happening at that in that specific part of Scripture. But look at Jesus' character, how he acted, what he said, what he did in his, what was his time, what he spent his time on, etc. So this morning I'm going to share a little bit about this price that we need to pay, this counting the cost, taking up the cross and following Jesus, you know. And that's part of the message that the church need to preach. It's part of something that we need to say. And it's important that when we sang this morning, oh, how he loved us, that's a fact. That's a biblical fact, okay? That God, the Father, the Holy Spirit, that he loves us so much. But he also knows what's best for us, you know? And that doesn't mean God just blesses us with all the good and the prosperity and the health always. Amen? Okay? I know that if I just need to give what my children like best to them, they're going to be very happy, but very unhealthy, okay? They will probably have chocolate for breakfast and ice cream for before they go to bed. And I guess it won't kill you in a day or two, but it's not going to be very healthy. And when we talk about God loving us so much, you know, there's a lot of things that is part of this walk with Christ that isn't that easy. I want to read you a quote from A.W. Tozer. I almost want to say I'm in love with what he's writing, you know, in his pursuit of God. I just love his writing so much. It just blesses me so much. Obviously, there's nothing that we can compare to the Word of God. But in certain times and seasons in our lives, we read maybe certain things from writers, and it just blesses us so much. He says there, how many people do you know that is running after God? Not merely following here and there, but what I'm talking about is this yearning, this longing to know God in increasing measure. You know, it's something, who do you think this morning? Who's the person that you know that's maybe deserving, let's call it the first prize, the person running after God the hardest? Who do you think it is in terms of someone you know? And the one second, and the one third? You know, church, there's not that many people that's really running after God and say, Lord, at whatever cost. Isn't it true? There's a lot of people following. And there's a lot of people, you know, where we say we love Jesus, etc. But he's talking here about this place of really having this deep longing to know the Lord and to follow with our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to read to you, and then he goes on, he says, what I mean by a crucified life is a life given over to the Lord in absolute humility and obedience, a sacrifice pleasing the Lord. And it's here where this conversation many times become tough, because I have to also work through the sermon, and you know, we need to practice what we preach. And you know, I know it's just challenging in our own lives to sometimes say, Lord, your will and not mine. And I think sometimes in our walk with the Lord, we want to go back to the old man. And we want to just do a bit of, what is it, CPR or something, where you just want to resurrect the old man a little bit and just want a little bit of that old life. Or am I just talking to very, very holy people? Sometimes there's things that's like a lure. It's like something that of this world that wants to draw us a bit again back to the world, you know? Because Paul is very clear, the old man has died. He died with Christ. There's a new person living. But there's a process of sanctification, you know? It's not just something very instantly happening. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, Paul writes and he says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Okay, so we first believe in our hearts, I believe. Firstly, we believe, and then we confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord. That word Lord there, Kyrios, is about used, I think, about 740 times in the New Testament. It's used a lot to refer as Jesus as Lord. Lord meaning like a king. Now, you know, we don't have a kingdom here in our country, or like the monarchy or anything, or maybe an old type of a kingdom or something. But usually when you have a kingdom, there's not 20 or 50 or 200 kings. There's a king and then there's the rest. There's servants. That means that king is that first place in our lives. And this is what I'm talking about this morning. I've got a few words there. Jesus is Lord with the Greek next to it. It's a Lord, a master, an owner, a possessor. Okay? That's when Scripture refers to Jesus Christ is Lord. Okay? So we start our discipleship walk and we are born again and we start this road. But you know, to say Jesus Christ is Lord, that's not something light. It's not something mediocre we say, is it? There's accounting the cost involved. There's a lot involved to say, God first, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. I'm prepared to follow you. Okay? There's so much in this world that really loves to keep us back, to hold us back. And when we believe in our hearts, it's the same as in Ephesians 2, chapter 8, or verse 8, you know, it says, by grace you have been saved through faith. It's that faith that is so important when we come to Christ. So, when we talk about discipleship, and discipleship is something really close to our hearts in our church, we believe in reaching the nations and the generations, making disciples, raising leaders, and planting churches. And it's something that is, yeah, as I said, it's so foundational in our church. But the goal of discipleship, there's so many books and so many things about discipleship. But if there's one thing that we can say to ourselves this morning, what is discipleship about? Then it's to become more like Jesus Christ. And if we ask ourselves if we can use a scripture to explain this process the best of becoming like Christ, I will use Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Then he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me. And this is where this morning's message might sound hard, or maybe it's not the, you know, A.W. Tozer writes in his book, and he says, if you want to preach a lot on following hard after God and about surrendering and obedience and these things, don't expect that your church will be big. And he's writing there just in a context of things that we like to hear and the things that is not that easy to hear. You know, there's a cost involved. Yesterday morning, my wife, my better half, I can say it in all honesty, you know, she came home back, she ran a race, a 10-kilometer race, back with a medal, okay? Just because she finished the race, she didn't come first, second, or third. But man, she's so much better than me at running. Praise God, there's a few things I guess I can do better than she can. But she's a good athlete. But you know what? it comes with a price. And she told to me, you know, I think here about around about 7 kilometers, you know, usually that's the place. If you run 10 kilometers, you think that's the place. And now I'm at my end. Now I'm almost feeling the bloody in my lungs, and it's really almost a dying to yourself. And then you have to push through. You have to go all the way till that finish line. But guys, it's almost like it's the same type of race we run spiritually as Christians, where we start to run and we're full of ourselves. And as we run, we empty ourselves. As we run towards that goal of becoming like Christ, we are emptied of ourselves. Paul writes, in Luke it says, you must give up your own way and take up your cross daily. He says, any of you, it's not just for men, older people, younger people, people in Namibia, any person, any of you want to follow, you must. Now, it just came to my mind this early morning when I was also preparing. My dad told me, and my sister, we differ about 1 year and 10 months in age, you know, and there was family staying. I'm the firstborn child, and there was family staying at our house. And when my mom and dad came back from the hospital, I guess one of them carried my little sister. And when they walked into the front door, I just put out my hands and said, mine, you know. And that is so typical when something new comes to home, you know, you want to say it's mine. I want it. That me, myself, and I. Because in this life, so much is about what I can get in, but what I want. And my first little words when I saw my sister, mine, I guess I thought it was a present or something that you can play with, but I was very, very wrong, I guess. Totally hands off, only 1 year and 10 months older. But you see, that thing is so part of us, where we want to say, my life, it's my life. I can do with it what I want to. My plans, my dreams, my decisions, and we hear it so much in this world. But it's so much, it's so poison to us, okay? Because Jesus was so very clear on it. And it sounds so, so not nice if we listen to the scripture in Luke chapter 9. If we want to follow Jesus, we need to give up our own way. This mine, my decision making, everything. We need to say, Lord, let your kingdom come. And let your will be done. To follow the Lord Jesus. I think I've gone in my own life through a lot of things, you know, where God always tests us. He gives us opportunities, you know. And I remember there was a time, when I was in Windhoek still, I always said, I will never live in Swakopmund. I think I've told this before. I said, no, the coast, and it never rains here. It's always, the whole year it's looking the same. And, you know, I love the Binneland and Windhoek, and I live there. And but I can challenge you. If you say something to God, God, I never will, okay? But I'm not sure if it's going to work if you say, I never want to live in Mauritius. I mean, you can try that, but, you know. But many times if we say to God, God, I will never do this, or I will, God's going to come knocking at your door because he wants to break down that thing. That's called an idol in our lives, okay? And I remember it so clearly that December holiday 2014 when I was really seeking the Lord, and he said to me, you're going to come to Swakopmund. Daniel, I didn't believe it, or I didn't want to hear it, rather say it like that. I know it was God speaking. 4 months later, and I was in Swakopmund, where I always said, I never want to live, okay? But now I can see with hindsight, I can see God's hand in it. I can see his love. But it was more challenging for me to move this 380 kilometers from Windhoek to Swakopmund than it was 10 years ago for me to move from Cape Town to Windhoek, okay? There's this progressive things, this thing in our life, you know, when we start our first baby walks, it's easy in faith. But as we progress, things get harder, things get more tough. And God is going to hold more difficult things before us, time and again. So if we talk about discipleship, and when we talk about running after the Lord, they talk about the 4 D's. And that is so important that we first say this morning, there must be a desire. There must be a desire in our hearts to follow the Lord. And that desire is placed in our hearts when we are born again. God gives us that natural thing where we just want to pray and we want to worship. We just want to spend time in God's presence. But we can abuse that. We can neglect that. That desire to follow the Lord, we need to treasure it so much. A while ago, I bought two books here in a Swakopmund bookshop, Christian books. And I shared it with Yaku, and I was so excited. And he looked at it, and he said, no, he thinks it's nice. And there was actually a third one that I wanted to buy, but at that stage, I thought, well, it's a bit expensive. Maybe I will leave it at that stage. I went to bed that night, and you won't believe me. I was rolling around in my bed because of that book. God, shall I buy it? God, but I want it. I know it will be good to me. Now you're reasoning with yourself. But what was it about? In that sense, it's not just about having a book more on my shelf. It's about something I want to study about theology, something I want to know, something I want to understand. That is a desire. That's a desire when I don't have to force you to come to the men's camp or to church or anywhere, and you want to be there because you are running after God. The second one, that second D that you can remember, is to deny ourselves. And this is not a very popular message. It's not something that we like to hear, okay? But it's something that is good for us if we want to say we want to be like Christ, if we want to become more like Jesus, because then it's the best to be obedient to what he said and the advice that he gave us, not what the world teaches us, how we can be healthy and wealthy and all of those things. The third one is a daily crucifixion, you know? And that's why I just said earlier on, when we sang about how he loves us, you know, as a father loves his children, and I just love to see the babies also here in church, the father and the mother know what's best for that little one. And if I just give my kids what they want, it will be a disaster. They're not going to grow up very healthy. I need to give them love, but I need to give them discipline as well. And when we talk about this daily crucifixion, there's a place where we have to say, well, I'm going to wake up early, or I'm going to go late to bed tonight because I want to spend time with the Lord. And there's something I just want to share. You know, when we talk about crucifying ourselves, you know, how does that thing work? Is it a bit of a, I die to myself and then sometimes I live again and then I die a bit and then I live again? Now, we are all Namibian people, and if you don't eat meat, well, just respect what I'm going to say just now. But, you know, when we braai a good steak, you know, some people say, well, I like it a bit, little bit more medium to rare. And then there's people that says, well, I like it well done because I like that thing to be dead. I'm not going to ask who likes the meat in what way. It really doesn't matter this morning. But there's this joke that always goes around, especially some of my good friends here in church that's also in the pulpit from time to time, where they say, no, I prefer my steak a little bit medium to rare so that a good veterinarian can still save that meat, can still save that cow. Now, maybe in Afrikaans it sounds a bit different. Dat 'n goeie veearts nog daai vleisie kan red. Now, that is how some people prefer to have it. But you see, that's almost taking that thing back and put some life in it, okay? Sorry, I don't want to disgust you or anything this morning talking about meat or maybe distract you in any sense. But the thing is, church, there's some times in our lives that we want to say, Lord, I want to be that well done piece of meat. I want to die to self. I want to be dead. But many times we want to go back and we want to put some just life in that piece of meat and say, I want that old thing to live again. And this is, I had a few times in this past 15 years of following the Lord where I know there was times, Willie Belt, when I had to say, God, how did I came to make this decision? It must have been the flesh. How did I get to this place of running into a wall again and just have to admit, God, I wasn't seeking you here. I was following my own heart. That takes me to a story way back to 2005. At the stage, I think I've told it before, so some of you might have heard it, when I met my wife, Maritza, and I knew about her at that stage in church. And, you know, I was sitting in a sermon, and I had this little black notebook and was writing there. And at that stage, I had a few plans in my life, but guess what? They weren't working. They were falling flat. They were just not happening. And many times we really feel we fail, we get it wrong, etc. But then I was listening to the sermon, something similar like today, and I just realized, but it's okay that my plans fail. What is most important is God's plans in my life, what God wants for my life. And I wrote there, praise God, I don't have a plan. Because in the context of that day, I just felt to surrender and say, okay, God, I had this and this thing planned, and I thought this is going to happen. I can buy that and et cetera. But it's not working, and I'm just willing to say, God, it's okay if my plans fail. I will go with your plans. Write it down, put it there, little Bible underneath the arm and the little black book. Guess what? Later that morning in church, I see Maritza. And that was, this was before WhatsApp and those type of things. I'm not that old. But I woke up to her, and she was talking there, and I was having a conversation with her, and I said to her, in church, can you believe it? I said, can I have your number? She's like, yes. Praise God for that. And guess what? I opened this little book, and I said, write the number here, and there it stands large. Praise God, I don't have a plan. Now, if you're a young man and you want to impress a girl, and you're right there, praise God, I don't have a plan. You seem to be clueless. You seem to be like this guy's floating here somewhere. He's going nowhere. And the moment I gave it to her, I thought like, oh, bad mistake, you know. But I think the Holy Spirit were at work there because she just laughed. And typically myself, I started to over-explain now the whole context of what I wrote there. And I'm not that bad. I actually do have a bit of vision and I have a plan or two. And I actually have a little car at that stage. But you see, my heart was just to say, God, my plans, how many times have I run into the wall, got it wrong, and they failed? Why? Because I wasn't seeking God. I wasn't asking Him for His will. And then I'm so thankful that my wife could look 12 years later, she could look past that and at least have an understanding when I said, God, your plans and not mine. Because this whole process of discipleship, this whole process of becoming like Christ is a painful one. Is it easy to become like Christ? Is it cheap? Does it come at a cost? It comes at a huge, huge cost. It's not something that just happens overnight, la-di-da. It comes at a price. And I'm going to be very honest with you because I love you guys. And I need to be honest with myself. And I need to ask you this morning that you can ask yourself, what is the idols in your life? It's something that every generation we need to ask ourselves. What is the things where you love, you've got a first and a second and a third king, and they are very close to each other. Maybe one of them is Jesus, where we can say Jesus is Lord, but there's other stuff very close to that. I have to tell you, do you think that God doesn't know about those things? That's the same as when I say to God, Lord, I will never live in Swakopmund. I'm a Vindu guy. God will make me come here. Because of why? He wants that my will can die, that my knee can bow. Because here's the thing. Scripture says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That will happen. That's a good place to say amen. It will happen. So here's the tip for the day. It's better to bow your knee now than later. It's better to say, God, I'm afraid. God, maybe I don't want to walk this Christian road, but it's better to start with these first steps. To say, Lord, I'm willing. Maybe I'm afraid. God will take you through this journey. I want to share with you Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. Good advice Amen, Carol. Thank you for taking part and listening. Proverbs chapter, you know that you're a respect the older person. You know that because you've gone through life. I think when we are younger, it's sometimes more challenging, and you can help me maybe, to say, Lord, your will and not mine. Maybe when we've gone a bit in life, we get to recognize, God, it's our will. Our plans, it doesn't always work out the way we want it. But when God is in control, everything isn't just perfect from a worldly perspective, but we are growing in dying. Listen to this, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. With all your heart. Not just when I feel like it, not when things are really going tough or finances is really bad or when I'm a bit sick. trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Now, this isn't just good advice. It's not just a tip there somewhere in Scripture to make it through life. It's biblical. It's from the heart of God. Do not depend on your own understanding. And that is the thing that I wanted to just tell about how do you prefer your meat. Because sometimes we work like this. We say, God, I'm going to follow you. God, your life. I want to walk in your ways. And then we've got like this 10 backup plans for just in case God doesn't come through. I still have a spare wheel or two, a spare tire or two. Okay? Do not depend on the Lord. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all that you do. It says in all that you do. Not just in one or two aspects of your life. Maybe let's call it your church life. But in your family life. In your extended family life. In your workplace. In raising your children. In planning holidays or whatever it might be. Say, God, what is your will? What do you want to teach me? Where do you want me to go? Where do you want me to sow? Where do you want me to give? That's not cheap. It's not an easy thing to say, not my plans, Lord, but yours. And He will show you which path to take. The fourth little verse. If we walk in God's ways, and we almost want to know, consult is not the right word. If we don't depend on our own understanding, and we see God, He says in Scripture, and He will show you which path to take. Can I have another amen there? Just because that we know God is faithful. God is so faithful. I've seen it a million times in my own life, and we've got so many testimonies of how faithful God is. If we seek Him, and we really have to just shut out the world, because if I were the devil, it sounds a bit bad. You know what I would just do? I would just bless Christians out of their socks. I'll just make them so rich, and I'll just give them health. You know why? Because many of them will just continue on their way to hell. Okay? It's such a trap to us many times. Because the moment we're confronted with death or sickness, as Quentin has said very correctly, the moment life gets hard, we want to ask God, but what did I do wrong now? What is happening? It almost feels strange in our society when things aren't going the way. Because God loves us. Isn't it supposed to work out? No, that's not an example that we see in Scripture. That's not the life that Jesus lived. That's not the life the apostles lived. Go and ask Jonah or Moses. Abram, friend of God. God asking him that very high price of his son Isaac. So, there's a Scripture that you can go and read many times at home. I want to continue and I want to read you from Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 to 8. Paul writing here, and he says, I once thought these things were valuable. Now, maybe just before we continue, you can say there, I once thought these things. Maybe just for a moment in your own life, you can say, Paul is writing in his specific context with certain things in mind, but what is yours this morning? What will be these things in your life? I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless, because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ. Paul writing here Scripture that is hard for us sometimes. It's really hard to say amen to that, to say I want that. I want to live in line with that. Because these things can be a lot of things. There can be a lot of things that we will hold so dear to you. Maybe just think of the 10 things in your life that you really don't want to be stolen or destroyed or burned down or anything. Or killed for that matter. Might be pets or something, I don't know. Okay? What are those things? But he says, but I consider them worthless because knowing of what Christ has done and of the value of knowing Jesus Christ as Lord. And this is where I just think many times, if we can just have that 30 seconds in the throne room of God or in heaven in eternity and just have a bit of a bigger experience. Some of us do have glimpses in this life about healings and salvations and words and prophecies and stuff that come into place that God gives us. And we experience that something powerful, that something eternal of God right here on earth. But it will be so much easier to say with Paul, all these things, I'm willing to let it go. I'm willing to let it die. Because to know Jesus Christ as King, to know Him as Lord, exceeds all of these things so much. Talking to a good friend of mine, Marius, this morning here in church, about a little accident that happened to him and something, Carol, you seem to know about what happened. You know, and when we make mistakes, I had a few things then I thought to myself, stupid Carl, stupid, look what you've done now. And then usually my wife will just say to me, oh, she's so glad it wasn't her. When something got broken or something didn't work out or crashed something or let it fell or something like that. You know, because the moment you see someone has got like a jewel or something in their hand and it fell and it's broken, it's gone. The value of that thing becomes nothing. Okay? And this is what this conversation is about. All the things in this life, all the things we count as so dear. And I just want to just add a little bit of context this morning. Church, I'm not saying don't love your father or your mother. I'm not saying don't love your spouse or your children or that they aren't precious in any way. God is a God of relationship, okay? He has given children parents to look after them, to feed them, etc. It doesn't mean that doesn't count or isn't special in God's eyes, okay? It's all these worldly things, all the things that we want to compare in terms of knowing God or following the Lord. We can add to that and just say, you know, as we've got this little blinds here, that the job of those blinds is to shutter out some of the light. You know, it's to keep some of the very sharp light on the outside. But you see, those veils can be a spiritual thing as well, where the light of God wants to shine onto us, and we've got these little veils or windows or maybe curtains or blinds or what you want to call them, that we can adjust to say, God, you just come in a little bit, or no, God, not now. I'm very busy with my life. Just stay out there a little bit. And we can just think of a few of them that is really killers in terms of running after God and His presence. Maybe we can say about, you know, pride, and as we said already, that strong self-will. Pride can be an ugly one in our own lives, because usually what pride is when we say, I know better, I know what is best, versus God, your will, God, you know what is best. We talk all about that self-will already, that thing where we want to hold on to things and not let go, stuff that we say, this thing is so important to me, I love it so much. I'm not saying don't be a good steward or anything, but you know, in an unhealthy way to be connected to some of our possessions. There's stuff that I really, really enjoy having, you know, but it should be down there, very, 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 very down there compared to Christ. There shouldn't even be a comparison, okay? We know about social position or the approval of man, those type of things that is sometimes we just feel, God, I don't want to stand out, I don't want to be different, I don't want to look bad or anything like that. So God has just got in His hands, He's got just this whole arsenal of circumstances that He can use. And it's not about God punishing us or hurting us or anything. But we know all that tough times in our lives are many times it's the time that shape us. It's the time that is like this, there's really important moments where we need to make big decisions and say, God, are you here or are you not? God, are you still with me? We want to shout out and say, God, where are you? But God has been all there all the time. Many times we make bad decisions and then we want to know, well, God, where are you now? I'm going to start ending off in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Paul writes and he says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body, by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Paul writes similar language to the Philippians. He writes it to the Colossians. But he's writing here and he says, and this is supposed to give us hope, you know, because Paul writes so extensive in the book of Ephesians, etc., when he says, he talks about that old person that walked into darkness, but now we are walking in the light. He says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And that gives us the hope to be transformed. That gives us the hope to be different. That gives us the hope not to try and in our own strength or in our own will to be shaped and to become more like Christ. We've got Jesus Christ inside. I've told it as well before, but I remember when I met Maritza, she made this little shirt for herself that said, God's girl, Christ inside. And it showed. It just means it reflected on that whole transformation that happened in her life. A work that is something going on for a lifetime. Just recall Pastor Corne Becker in our third year Bible school when he talks about discipleship and he asked the question, so how long does it take to make a good disciple? 80 years? Well, pretty much lifelong. There's not something where we can say when you're 10 or 20 years with the Lord, that's it. It's going to look differently for all of us. You know, I just think to our friend JP and Marlies that is inaugurated this morning there in Windhoek Church. They are becoming the new pastors. I think most of you will know it by now. But just to see their willingness this past few years to run after the Lord, to follow hard, to let go of so many things, early mornings, late nights, to say, Lord, we want to follow you. That's paying the price. But it's a price where we get transformed. That's a price where we become so much more like Christ. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3, it says there, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ. And I'm going to start ending off there this morning, where Paul says, listen, you died. You're a new man. You're a new creation in Christ. This core disposition before you came to Christ, that thing has been changed. Ezekiel promised you'll get a new heart and a new spirit. Run with that. And I want to say to you, don't try and resurrect that old man. I've seen it many times in church where Christians want that old man to come back to life. And then it's a subtle thing where the enemy wants to come in and wants us to think in a worldly manner. And I'll say it myself, I've been there, where we act in a way where we say things, or we lose our temper, we say, but what is this? This is not a new creation. That's part of that old man. That must die. Don't give that thing oxygen. It should die. Crucify it. But you know what? You need to decide. You need to make a choice and say, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, help me with this thing. It must die in my life. This lust of the flesh, lust of the money, the things we see with our eyes, the things of this world. Paul writes clearly and he says, don't put your eyes on that. Put your sights there on heavenly things, on the gospel, on the good news, the things that matter to Christ. Christ wasn't about having a second car and a third car and a house, this and that. Okay? People and salvation and eternity. Those things were the things that mattered to Christ. We know it's his heart that all will come to salvation. We die to ourselves. So this morning, I just believe it's so important that we are honest with ourselves and say, and ask yourself, many times we've got this, I don't want to say holy faces, but there's stuff inside, stuff that we know that we need to bring before God and say, Lord, there's things in my life that you need to deal with. But it's not just going to happen automatically. It's something where we need to sigh and say, Holy Spirit. And I am very sure this morning, because it was my prayer, that as I'm preaching and just reading the scriptures, not because of the sermon, but because God is so faithful, that he will start to show you what might be idols in your life. Okay? Things where you and I still need to crucify the flesh, need to crucify that old man completely. Okay? And those things are painful. It's painful to let go. You know what? I actually never thought about it, but this early this morning as I was praying, I just thought about it, you know. Who of you have come to my house or spent time with me on a Saturday night? None of you, because I will not invite you on a Saturday night. And I love you guys, and I've been to some of you at different times. But a Saturday night is my time with the Lord if I preach on a Sunday. And I've just this morning, I recognize for about 10 years, I've said, now, Lord, Saturday nights is your time. I'm not watching rugby, and I'm not condemning anyone that's watching rugby or having a braai or spending time with friends or family. God will ask different things from different people in different seasons. But it's something where I had to say, those things, I'm slowly but surely, I'm willing to let it go. My heart needs to be with God if I'm preaching on a Sunday, okay? That is just something in my life. And I look back and I thought, how the Lord has been sanctifying me, taking worldly things. And I mean, I love people. Me and my wife love people. My children are now old enough. Saturday nights, they ask me, but Dad, come and watch a movie with us or something like that. And I say to them, I'm not going to. I love you guys. But you know, I make this decision not to socialize or something like that because I want to put the Lord first. That's important to me. That is where I am. Just remember earlier in the week, it was so beautiful in a sense. My wife said to the kids, or it passed previous weekend, I think, because the kids were at home, and she said to them, you know, just excuse me for a while. Mom just wants to have a bit of quiet time. And then the one said, yo, Mom, but we know it's going to take long. And my wife said, yes, okay. Because that's desire, her desire to be with the Lord. And she needs it. Because children always want their parents' attention. That's fine. It's normal. But when my one son just said, oh, Mom, we know that's going to take long. And she said, yes. That's fine. That's the right answer. We need that time with the Lord. Otherwise, we run dry. We can't say we're running after God. We want to be in His presence. We want to be full of the Holy Spirit, where we worship and read Scripture, study the Word. And then we say, no, I'm just going to spend time with the kids. Don't worry, I'll leave the Word behind. There's times when we are desperate. There's times that we long for the Word. Isn't it true? Times that we just want to say, God, I just want to lock myself up in a room. I remember one of our pastors once shared, you know, when their kids were small, his wife found him under the kitchen table, under the cloth. He was sitting there reading Scripture because he just wanted a bit of time, because when all the children are 2 years old and running around and making a lot of noise, it's hard to find time for yourself. But we need that. And it's all part of a process where we say, Lord, there's things in our lives that we want, that we need to leave behind. There's things that we need to leave behind. So this morning, I just want to encourage you, maybe go home afterwards, spend time in the week, and just say, Lord, what are the things that is still to be in my life? The Holy Spirit is so faithful that He will show us those things. Okay? It's a decision that we need to take. Amen. I want to pray for us. Yes, Father God, we stand here this morning, and yeah, Father God, we just want to firstly lift up our hands, Lord God, and say, Lord God, as a church, Lord God, we believe in God the Father and in Jesus Christ the Son and the Holy Spirit. And Father, we know that You are Jesus Christ, the Lord, because You were resurrected, Lord God. You are alive, and You're sitting at the right hand of the Father, Lord God. And Lord, You gave us this call to be disciples, Lord God. You call us to follow You. You gave us this invitation to say that we should deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow You. And Lord, we know that nothing has changed, Lord God. Father, we know that to follow Jesus Christ comes at a price, Lord God. But Father, this morning, Lord God, as that old Chinese proverb goes, that the 1,000-mile journey, Lord, it starts with the first step. And Father, I just want to pray for us, no matter where we are, Lord God, where we are in terms of our sanctification process, our discipleship process, growing up as men and women of God, Lord, that we need to take that first step, maybe a second or a third step, Lord God. Lord, we can never look back and think about the things that You've done 10 years ago and just be happy with that. Lord, there's a constant process, Lord God, where our spiritual transformation is just so important to you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for those circumstances that you allow in our lives, Lord God, where we can be drawn closer to you. Father, I believe in line with Scripture where you say that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, Lord God, that Jesus Christ is Lord. And this morning, Lord, I pray for us as a church and for individuals that we can just continually grow to a process where we can say, Jesus Christ is not only my Savior, but my Lord. That He is my King and that He is my everything, Lord God. And that the things of this world will not be the things that will occupy us and drown us in a sense, Lord God. That Your Spirit will fill us, Lord God. That You'll strengthen us, Lord God, to run after You, Lord God. That we will be willing to make this decision, Lord God, to pay the price, Lord God. Oh Lord, we love You and we just want to sing praise to You this morning, Lord, that we can see how You transform lives. Lord, that it's not just theory that we talk about, Lord, but that we've got so many testimonies, Lord, about people's lives being touched, people being healed, Lord God, people, especially this year, being set free or delivered, Lord God. We worship You, Lord God, because You are powerful, that You are a Savior, Lord. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.